Hello, and welcome to the February 2018 InfoTech Threat Landscape Briefing. My name is Jessica Ireland, and I am a director in our Security and Threat Intelligence practice. I will be facilitating today's briefing. During today's discussion, we will cover topics related to cybersecurity, threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and threat actor exploits and tactics. Our cybersecurity section covers high-level topics such as threat trends, data breaches, control strategies, and exposure to vulnerabilities that act to broaden your understanding of a cybersecurity impact on your business. Our threat actor campaign section covers topics related to nation-states, cybercriminals, and hacktivists orchestrating campaigns designed to compromise networks and exfiltrate sensitive data. Our regulatory compliance and legal section covers trends in the global regulatory and legal landscape with the potential to impact compliance adherences or disrupt business operations. And lastly, our exploitation and tactics section provides information related to the tools, tactics, and exploits threat actors are leveraging in their attack campaigns. Today's briefing will also be supported by myself, Research Manager Philippe D'Souza, and Senior Consulting Analysts Ian Mulholland and Rita Zerbrig. During today's briefing, we will cover topics related to cybersecurity trends for 2018, GPS location trackers leaving client data open to hackers, Australia's Small Business Security Guide, the Meltdown Spectre attacks, and Android malware targeting over 232 mobile applications. Let's begin.
Now that we're a month into 2018, let's spend some time talking about major cybersecurity trends we're likely to see impact organizations around the globe this year. I'm going to talk about three major trends, starting with IoT vulnerabilities. In 2018, organizations will continue to develop and launch more sensor-packed, internet-connected devices. But the Internet of Things remains a major weak point for security. Security Magazine predicts that as many as 1 million new connections per hour will be added to the Internet by 2020. Currently, IoT devices lack basic security features, often relying on default passwords that can give attackers easy access. IoT devices will make it problematic for organizations to know what information is leaving their networks or what data is being secretly captured. To meet the security challenges of IoT, a proactive and dynamic approach to security is necessary, including a layered defense strategy. The second major trend is crime as a service. Criminal organizations will continue their ongoing development and become increasingly more sophisticated in 2018. Crime as a service refers to organized crime rings offering services such as on-demand distributed denial of service attacks and bulletproof hosting to support malware attacks. The tools or services which are put up for either sale or rent are often provided to less experienced cyber criminals. As a result, even those with limited knowledge and expertise are able to carry out attacks with relative ease. Examples of crime as a service include ransomware as a service, DDoS as a service, and phishing and malware kits. Criminal organizations have developed complex hierarchies, partnerships, and collaborations that often mirror large private sector organizations. The commoditization of the tools they use will allow mature criminal organizations to diversify their tactics and enter into new markets. This commoditization indicates a level of sophistication that hasn't been reached before, meaning the incidents in upcoming years will likely be more persistent than in previous incidents. The final trend is ransomware. And while ransomware isn't new, it has been a growing threat over the last few years. In 2017 alone, ransomware growth hit 2,500%, and it turns out that it's profitable for criminals, with an estimated $1 billion in revenue in 2016. Unfortunately, ransomware attacks will almost certainly become more pervasive in 2018. Some attacks will adhere to the brute force model of infect, lock, and extort, while others will become more sophisticated. In the future, ransomware will not merely attack targeted individuals, but instead will target entire networks. Given that ransomware can penetrate organizations in multiple ways, reducing the risk of ransomware-infected devices typically requires a portfolio approach rather than a single product. For organizations that don't have the means to restore their systems or data, they're often left being put in the tough position to pay the ransom. However, hopefully WannaCry in 2017 highlighted the need to back up regularly, keep patches up to date, and to strengthen your real-time defenses. If organizations took these simple steps, we could dramatically reduce the impact of ransomware in 2018. Those are our three major cybersecurity trends for 2018. However, I want to provide a bonus trend, which is the complexity of new regulations in 2018, specifically GDPR. GDPR is the European Union's regulation, standing for the General Data Protection Regulation, which is going to add a new layer of complexity to the issues of data management. The GDPR is aiming to establish data protection levels that are consistent for all EU residents, and it impacts how organizations handle personal data. However, the regulation applies to all global organizations that collect, process, and use EU data subjects' information. However, given the EU context, a lot of organizations have dismissed the regulation, resulting in a lack of internal awareness. However, it will impact all global organizations. Notably, the regulation comes into effect on May 25th, 2018, this year, and the fines can be up to 20 million euros or 4% of annual turnover. To reiterate the trends, the three major trends for 2018 will be IoT vulnerabilities, crime as a service, and ransomware, with an added layer of complexity to new regulations, including GDPR.
In early January, it was discovered that many online services used for GPS location tracking were vulnerable, which could allow attackers to find out the owner's current and even past locations. Two security researchers, Vangelis Stikas and Michael Grun, were the ones who were to discover these vulnerabilities, referring to them collectively as TrackMageddon. In the report, 103 online services were identified carrying these vulnerabilities that are used to manage millions of devices. The vulnerabilities were discovered by exploit code that was created as a proof of concept to verify that these vulnerabilities could be used. The code itself was redacted from the report, as a researcher said that even non-technical persons could exploit these vulnerabilities. The vulnerabilities could allow malicious attackers to gain location info, model type name, serial numbers, phone numbers, and names for any devices managed by that service. In certain cases, some of the vulnerabilities were even seen to allow location history to be accessed, while also allowing for commands to be sent out. The list of services affected can be quite long, with 103 identified so far, but does include some notable services, including One2Track GPS, or also known as One2Track, KiddoTrack, and Amber 360. As the researchers noted in the report, there are three main considerations when looking for what to do as a consumer. Number one, change your password. The default password is a very easy to break 123456, and as such should be changed. It is noted that one of the services does actually have the password hard-coded, although the hard-coded password is a random six-digit password as opposed to the typical 123456. The second piece of advice, and this might seem obvious, stop using still affected devices. This won't be a surprise necessarily, but if the online service is still vulnerable, the best course of action may be just to turn off your device altogether. Lastly, consider removing as much data as possible from the online service. It does appear that while location history may be kept on these, there's no location of times or phone numbers assigned to the devices, allowing for the removal of some of the personal information. The table on the slide shows where vulnerabilities were remediated and where it may have been done insufficiently. Take a look at this list, which includes some of the long list of vulnerable services, but just note a couple of things. Not all of the services are noted on this slide, just as, quite simply, not all 103 could fit easily on one slide. But also note that this is as of January 10th, 2018, so some of these items may have changed by the time you're viewing this. Either way, take a look at the report if you're looking for more detail into the full list of vulnerable services. In this table, we see three columns. The column on the left-hand side shows all the services that have been closed and closed these vulnerabilities. The column just to the right of that indicates services that appear to have been stopped being vulnerable based on the researcher's exploit code being automatically run. The researchers did note, though, that since they did not get an official notification from these vendors about the vulnerabilities, it may have been more so that they just turned off these services, and by returning them online, they may come back as vulnerable. So therefore, we cannot be sure that their vulnerability was fixed. The last column on the right-hand side are the services to be most wary of. They include vendors that have not provided any information on whether or not they will be fixed, so again, can still be the most vulnerable to attack. The researchers believe that ThinkRace was a company to be behind the original development of the online tracking software and seller of those lines. It operates some of these services as well. Stikas and Grun claim that they provided the vendors with sufficient time in which to close the vulnerabilities before the public disclosure. They even went so far as to extend the deadline for public disclosure once vendors suddenly started responding closer to the original deadline. After a certain point, though, they believed that they were duty-bound to inform users more generally so that they could protect themselves and be aware of any potential privacy issues.
According to the Australian government, over 90% of businesses in Australia are small businesses as of July 2017. Of these small businesses, 87% believe that the antivirus solution they employ is and will continue to be sufficient to protect their organization from a cyber attack. In fact, small businesses tend to be more vulnerable to cybercrime than other, larger organizations due to the absence of cybersecurity. A lack of time, resources, and experienced personnel in combination with an overwhelming amount of often conflicting recommendations regarding cyber protection leads to small businesses reducing the priority they give to cybersecurity. Unfortunately, the absence of an appropriate cybersecurity program can result in devastation for small businesses, including becoming completely shut down. 22% of the small businesses who were affected by the 2017 WannaCry ransomware attack had to shut down their business. 60% of small businesses that face any serious cyber breach go out of business within the next 6 months. While it is not just small businesses that need to be worried about cyber attacks, as the Australian economy loses over $1 billion every year to cybercrime, they are easier to target due to the lack of security awareness and protective technologies in place. To help combat this growing problem, the Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman, which is an office within the Australian government, created a best practices guide for small businesses. This document seeks to inform small businesses about the threats that exist to small businesses in the cybersecurity space and offer advice on how to protect oneself against these threats. Moving the business online can have many benefits. However, this adoption should be done carefully in order to avoid adding unnecessary risk to the organization. The links to these documents are available on the accompanying slide. I will briefly summarize the recommendations listed in the best practice guide and identify the research that InfoTech offers to help achieve these goals. Number 1, prevention. The first step to take is to work on preventing attacks from happening in the first place. An antivirus program alone is not enough to stop an experienced and dedicated hacker from breaking into the organization. In addition to this program, consider backing up your data on a regular basis. In the event of a loss of access to important files, like the event of the 2007 WannaCry ransomware attack, you will be able to use your backed-up files to restore access and resume business operations. To help prevent becoming victim to attacks like the WannaCry attack, ensure that you are patching your applications when patches become available. If you are directly targeted by a hacker, having strong employee passwords or employing two-factor authentication will reduce the likelihood of the hacker successfully authenticating. In the event of a successful breach, reduce the impact it has on your organization by restricting access to sensitive company information. InfoTech provides research on vulnerability management that can help simplify the process of implementing these strategies. The links are on the accompanying slide. Number 2, do things safely. Work towards developing a strong cybersecurity culture within the organization by delivering cybersecurity awareness and training. Keeping these simple best practices in front of employees on a frequent basis will help them develop safe habits when using the internet. See InfoTech's research on security awareness and training for more details on how to deliver one of these programs to your employees. And finally, number 3, response. In the event of a cyber attack, you want to be able to recover completely and quickly from the incident. After informing your staff and the authorities, begin your remediation process, which should include resolving the threat, followed by restoring files from backups. Consider purchasing cyber insurance to help protect your company from suffering large financial loss. For assistance on developing a remediation process, InfoTech offers research on incident response, the link to which is on the accompanying slide.
2018 really started with Meltdown Spectre affecting many organizations, but in a different way than most publicized attacks over the last year. What's unique about these vulnerabilities compared to others that have cropped up is that they are hardware vulnerabilities that affect modern processors. Modern meaning processors that have been in existence since 1995. If an attacker decides to take advantage of one of these vulnerabilities, they will have access to data they otherwise wouldn't have, because it would have been protected. And data that is being processed on a system that's being attacked, for example, passwords, PII, etc. This data would normally be in a protected memory space, keeping it from other programs trying to access it. So what's been affected during this time? Intel processors, AMD and ARM processors, GPU processors, vendors of consumer and enterprise products who use the processors listed above in mobile devices, personal computers, servers, etc. And again, any server dating back to 1995. So what can you do for your organization? Remember that just because a patch exists doesn't mean it's been deployed. That's your job. Make sure you're keeping an eye on your patching efforts. Strategize with your team. Manage your hosted environments, know your software, hardware inventories, and send out communications to educate relevant parties on what's going on and what might need to get done. InfoTech published a short information deck on these vulnerabilities that can be a great starting point for you and your team in dealing with this. If you need more assistance, feel free to book a call with an analyst to learn more. This vulnerability is ultimately about hardware, which you can't necessarily rip and replace right now. So know what you can do in the meantime.
QuickKill Security Labs have detected a piece of malware called Android Banker A2F8A that targets over 232 banking applications on Android devices. In addition to banking apps, this malware also targets cryptocurrency applications, Amazon Shopping, Airbnb, and a host of others. All of the target apps identified by QuickKill can be found at the link provided on the accompanying slide. To become infected, one must download a fake Flash Player app from a third-party app store, a name obviously chosen for its widespread popularity. The average user may not realize that there is no Adobe Flash Player app on the Google Play Store, as the app has been discontinued after Android 4.1. Once a device has finished installing the fake application, the user will be bombarded with pop-ups until they approve the request for administrative rights. The icon for the app will hide itself after rights have been granted and the icon is clicked. With the icon gone and no further action required by the user is able to easily forget about the app altogether. In the background, the app will look for one of its target apps and, upon finding one, send a notification on behalf of the targeted app to the user and display a fake login page that asks the user to enter their credentials. The malicious app will intercept incoming and outgoing text messages and is able to bypass mobile two-factor authentication. This malicious app is just one example of many that are out there. Users with Android devices are encouraged to put cybersecurity best practices in place in order to avoid becoming victim to malicious apps such as Android Banker A2F8A. Apps should only be downloaded from official stores, and the permissions being requested should be carefully considered before accepting. A reliable security app for a phone is another way of protecting the device, as it may be able to detect malware running in the background. As these malicious apps often take advantage of known vulnerabilities in operating systems installed on Android devices, keeping the software up to date is an effective way to minimize risk.
This concludes our monthly threat briefing. If you have any questions or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us to set up an analyst call. Thank you.